T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, guys, welcome to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts in the studio today, man. We've got a full house. We got the Professor Richard Hoskins himself, Hot Rods and Happy Hour financial analyst slash numbers guru.
What's happening in Old Lyme, Connecticut?
Holding it down for the CT. I hear you over there, Richie. All right, and of course, we got Smitty and Breezy back in the studio.
Hello, Rob.
What's happening, y'all?
What's going on? And we got a special guest. We got Mr. Kobe Miller. He's a hot rider right here around town. Built some really cool rides. Kobe, say hey to everybody.
Hey, everyone.
That's what I'm... See, Kobe, he just... Hey, everybody.
So warm.
It was welcoming.
He sounded happy.
Always happy.
Look who he's hanging around. Can you blame him? I mean, come on. I mean, this is like Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, and Easter all at the same time. I think so.
I think it's like our birthdays.
That's red letter dates in history. I'm just throwing it out there. But, guys, I tell you what, we got a really cool show lined up for you today. Because you know what? I was thinking about this, you know. And every week, you know, and everybody asks me, what are we going to talk about this week on the radio? What are we going to talk about? And, you know, you start thinking about it. No matter what genre of car, no matter what it is, whether it's imports, late model stuff, classics, everything, there's always a truck. There's always a truck. But why are trucks so popular? I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, we've all talked about trucks. We've talked about mini trucks. We've talked about classic trucks. We've talked about lifted trucks. We've talked about trucks that are lifted in the front, squat in the back. We've talked about all of them. We've made fun of them. But you know what I'm saying. We've talked about all kinds of stuff. But why the truck? And I want to get into, like, the psyche of it. Like, why are they so popular? I mean, and I think we got some really good points to talk about today on that. I'm really stoked about it because, I mean, that's the thing. Like, everybody wants a truck. I mean, and no matter where you go, there's always going to be a truck there. Especially here in the South. I mean, truck's a way of life. And that's what I like.
Well, you know, trucks, people look at trucks as you're a hard worker. That's the status that you get off of a truck. From where they originated way, 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 way back when and the evolution of them, it means that you've worked hard, you've played hard, and you have provided for your family.
Well, it's that rough and tough, rugged thing going, you know? Kind of like the Marlboro Man, like a cowboy.
Well, you look at my truck, you can tell there ain't no work happening in that truck.
No, the work's been done to it.
That's the work. The work's still being done to it.
But the number one thing with trucks is, as a kid, when everybody was growing up, they always looked at their dads having a truck. So guess what you got when you turn 15, 16? You got your dad's truck and he got a new one. That's where all the truck thing started, and that's...
Well, and that's a good one, too. Yeah. I mean, I remember riding in the back of a truck. Did you ride in the back of a truck, Smitty?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's a good point, too, because you think about it, that gives, when you pass a truck down from father to child, they get to work on that truck together.
It's an heirloom. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really does. It becomes an heirloom, a family heirloom. I mean, there's an attachment there. And then sometimes they get passed on for another generation.
I got my grandpa's 86 C10 sitting in the yard just waiting to have some wrenches turned on it.
I mean, and that's the cool thing about it. But, and you know, and it's not just trucks. I mean, people do that with cars, too. But here in the South, but no matter what the genre, even the import guys are getting into the truck scene now. You're starting to see, you know, these little tuner trucks coming out. You know, they're fixing up these old 720s and 620s and Hilux trucks and things like that, like, are coming out, like, import style.
Yeah.
Not old school mini trucks. These guys are building stance trucks, I guess is what you would call it. I mean, it's every realm of the automotive world, there's a truck in it. That's what's cool about it. But why? I mean, like, it always pops up. The truck is always going to be the most popular. Like, I remember back in the day, you know, back when you're building a show car in the street rods, and Kobe can really bounce off this one, too, back in the street rod days. You know, like, the perfect vehicle to have would have been, like, a five-window Chevrolet truck. You can go to truck shows. You can go to street rod shows. You can go to open car shows. You've got a vehicle that virtually could compete in anything and build the perfect trophy-winning truck out of it because of what it is.
That's exactly right. But then at the end of the day, when nowadays, when you go to any of these street rod nationals or run to the sun, anything like that, what's the number one truck you see there? It's going to be a 5-window or a 70 model C10. There's millions of them out there. I don't even know how they all still exist, but they're just everywhere.
Well, the aftermarket, that's why.
Yep, that's exactly right.
I mean,
right,
you got to think about it. I mean, you can buy actually fiberglass 5-window cabs now.
Yep.
So,
you can turn a small window into a big window. You
exactly.
can do whatever you want.
I mean, I think about it. They made millions of C10 trucks over the years. Millions of C10 trucks. And that's what makes them really cool is that they're around and they're popular. But even the Ford trucks, your F-100s, it's not just the GM yep. products.
Nope.
I mean, like all. And that's the thing that's cool about it. I mean, but they're so popular and they never die. Like, it doesn't matter what the trend is, there's always going to be a truck involved with it in one way or another. And so this whole episode, we're going to be talking about trucks. And we've got some really cool things to touch base on this. But we're going to dig a little deeper into this truck psyche. And I think that's the cool thing. But why? You know, why people go to trucks? And, you know, kind of like Kobe was talking about, and like, you know, Smitty was talking about. We want to get into that side of it. Like, what's the attraction with the truck? And we've got some really cool key points to talk about. And actually, we've done a lot of research on this. We've done homework. You'd be proud of me. I haven't read this much since high school.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy. But it's you know, this is our hobby. This is what we do. And speaking of what we do, I want to tell you something about Mr. Kobe Miller. There's a reason why I want him in the studio today. This guy right here can not only build a badass car, but he can build a bad truck, too. And he's finishing up one in his shop right now, Smitty. And I want to tell you something. Will make you do crazy things when you see it. He sent me a picture of it, and my teeth chattered. It was so bad.
Man,
that thing is bad news, buddy.
He was just showing me pictures of the grill.
I'm telling you.
I mean, I do crazy things for the grill.
Like, I mean, you look at it, it's just like, goodness gracious alive.
I ain't even got the rest of the truck, and we'll still do something crazy.
I tell you what, them faces you were making, Breezy was looking at you like, what kind of pictures you looking at, fool?
Then I saw him, and I couldn't blame him on that.
That's what I'm saying. Kobe, tell us about this 57 Chevrolet pickup truck.
Well, the truck started out as a 57 Chevrolet, of course, stepside truck. It was bought here local. It was a rust bucket. Completely cut it up, put all new floor pans, all new custom one-off dash in it. It's got custom grill. I couldn't even begin to tell you how many thousands and thousands of hours of just metal work and body mods on this truck, but it is so subtle, so clean that when you look at it, it still looks like a 57, but it's far from a 57.
But that's what makes it cool is those little touches, because every time you look at it, you see something different about it.
That's exactly right. And when it, I mean, it's got, like I said, the bed is just as slick as the inside of the bed is just as slick as the outside. I mean, the whole truck from front to back is just going to be one clean, smooth, never-ending classic pickup truck, and that's what I was going for.
So, Kobe, you think when we get it done, we can go to Lowe's and pick up a load of pine needles with it?
Negative.
No. But to tell us about the grill in this thing, because, you know, like a 57 Chevrolet truck grill, a 57 had a pretty grill in the truck. Now, the 55s and the 56s kind of had like that egg crate style, like a 55 Chevrolet a little bit. But a 57 had a good-looking grill, but you switched that up, and you knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, what I did is I went ahead and cut out the old existing grill and just used the surround of it and then welded in a bar with out of a 57 Chevrolet car. I thought that would look just really slick, really cool. I've never seen one. Cut it down, molded it, fit it in there. It just looks clean, slick.
And this is all chrome now. This is all chrome work.
All chrome. And what's so crazy about it is I found a new system. It's out of Kingsport, North Carolina, a company called Newprint, and they actually do spray chrome. And with that spray chrome, you can do body work, you can do whatever you want, and it is just, you cannot tell the difference unless you accidentally chip it for some crazy reason.
Well, I mean, you think about it, and it's like paint.
Yep.
So it's, you know, it's cleared and everything, so it's protected from the elements.
Yep.
It technically holds up really as good as chrome does.
Oh, I think it actually holds up better.
Probably in the long run, it probably does. And if you ever have a problem or something like that with it,
you can touch it up.
And the cool thing about that new chrome stuff, too, is also you can take parts that normally would have never been repaired, you can repair now.
That's exactly right. You can cut on it, you can weld on it, you can do whatever you want, and then at the end of the day, it is just flawless.
Love it. I love it. I tell you what ain't flawless. These commercial breaks, man, they sneak up on us every time. Guys, stay tuned. We're talking trucks right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
On 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. We've got Smitty and Breezy in the studio.
What's happening, y'all?
And I tell you what, we got Richard Hoskins, Hot Rods and Happy Hour, resident financial analyst slash numbers guru.
What is happening, Sky High, California?
No comment.
It doesn't sound like a fun place.
It does sound like a fun place. And then we got a great local builder right here in Studio West. We got Kobe Miller.
Beans, we're talking trucks, guys. Howdy, y'all.
Howdy, y'all.
There it is.
That's the Traveler's Rest coming out right there. Yeah. Howdy, y'all. Richard, that should be your next town. Traveler's Rest, South Carolina.
It could.
I love it. I love TR.
I love TR, man. I work there.
That's what I'm screaming. That's where all the cool people hang out.
Yeah,
that's
right. That's the spot.
It is. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you something. It's becoming like the bicyclist capital of the world.
Yeah, but it's still nice.
It is. It is nice. It's a nice place. You know, it's just a nice place.
Small town atmosphere.
It is small town atmosphere next to that old Greenville.
That's right.
Old Devil Greenville.
Old Devil.
Oh, man. I tell you what, guys. We're talking trucks. And this is my thing. You really can't talk about where you're going until you know where you've been. I want to give a shout to Breezy on that one. That was a good line. I like that.
I have good thoughts.
You do have good thoughts. So we're talking about a little history. So now the first truck rolled out like what? The early 1900s, Josh?
1896, to be exact.
1896.
Ask him the name of the guy that invented it. He can't say it.
Come on, man.
Come on, Smitty.
Gottlieb Daimler?
Gottlieb Daimler. Well, I got a feeling he's a part of the Daimler Chrysler crew somewhere down the line.
Yes.
I would almost say.
He's a diamond guy, for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely in there somewhere. But, and then, of course, later on, Henry Ford, he jumps in.
Yep.
And he started out his truck. Now, they didn't call it a truck, though.
No, they called it a runabout, Model T runabout.
And I think they called it that because, one, it's a Ford, and then there you're going to be running around.
Yeah.
And two, I can't say on the radio, but I mean, you got to think about it. But that's where it started right there, though. And I mean, and ever since then, trucks have gone nuts. Yep. Everybody loves a truck. I mean, and that's the thing that's cool. Now, so what's some cool high points going through from Henry Ford's pickup truck?
Henry Ford, by 1936, had already sold 3 million trucks. In 1936.
Wow. 3 million?
That's a lot of trucks.
Ooh, it's cracking them out.
I didn't think there was 3 million people.
That's what I was about to
say. In the United States in 1936. That's
insane.
I didn't
think there was 3 million people to push a truck in 1936, for sure.
That's a lot of pushing.
That's a whole lot.
People were tougher back then, though.
Yeah.
Very tough.
Very tough. I mean, come on.
It was the focus group.
It was. I bet you everybody was so mad back then. Take your truck out for a push.
Yeah, take it out for a push.
I wonder what was invented first, the wheelbarrow or Henry Ford's truck. That's where we got the idea from.
That's the concept.
It's kind of like a smaller version. It's easier to handle. So anyway, so we moved from the Henry Ford. But now, I mean, like, jumping into the 40s, and then, you know, Henry Ford put the flat V8 in his pickup truck.
Yeah.
And going into the 50s, and like we was talking about, mm-hmm. Kobe's build. Got this 57 Chevrolet trucks. And that's when these trucks really started getting some style. I mean, you had your F1s and your F100s that were pretty and they're rounded. And I mean, you know, they're really putting design efforts. It's getting a little more than utility. They made a pretty truck.
Well, that's also when Datsun came out with the first compact truck. 1959, the Datsun 1000 pickup.
Yep, 1000 pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And then where the whole truck industry took a big, big turn is when Chevrolet came out with a Cameo. It went from a work truck to a gentleman's truck with the fleet side.
Well, and the thing you got to think about, fleet side was a new concept altogether. I mean, every truck was a step-side truck, technically. There was no such thing as a step-side. They were just, that's how they came. But this fleet side, you had a Cameo truck, had the fiberglass side panels on the side. This truck was not made to haul lumber in.
Nope. They called it the gentleman's pickup truck.
The gentleman's truck.
Maybe that's why I like a step size so much. You know, being a gentleman and all.
Being a gentleman and all.
I love a size step truck, man.
And I like them all, but a Cameo truck's just
Cameo
sexy.
Trucks are just gorgeous.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful trucks. And I think every one of them came white with red trim.
Yeah, just about.
And it seems like every picture of a Cameo original is like that. Exactly.
Yep. I seen an episode just the other day talking about Cameo trucks and how they got built and how they got started. And the reason why they actually had the fiberglass sides compared to a steel side is because It was a prototype, and they could not afford the stamping. So the Corvette designer decided, why don't we make this out of fiberglass and let me give it a try? And that's how the fiberglass sides came about.
So Corvette technology working into the pickup trucks in the early game.
You just had to get him started on Corvettes again. That was last week.
No more Corvettes.
Speaking on C4 Corvettes. Sorry, guys. I'll spare you.
We'll just do an implant into a Cameo.
But that's a very, I mean, that's a very good looking truck. And you want to talk about it makes a beautiful hot rod?
Oh, God, yes. Big window Cameo truck. Wow.
Yeah, that just makes me think dirty thoughts over here.
Yes, me too.
I'm just like, I'll tell you what's even prettier. It's like I like the 5, 6, 7 trucks. They're gorgeous. Yep. But I'm kind of weird. I like the 58, 59, the 4i trucks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like those trucks. And they're starting to come on strong. Used to, nobody really liked them.
Nope.
But I'll tell you a little blast from the past. And Kobe probably can remember this. Richard May. But, you know, Don Johnson actually drove one in Miami Vice. Yes. He had a hot rod 58 Chevrolet truck.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't remember
sure
that.
Did.
And it was wild. It was chop top. I mean, it was a crazy-looking truck. And the funnier story about this truck is my dad actually tried to buy it. It was for sale at Myrtle Beach at Run to the Sun. Wow. I mean, I'm talking about 1995. So it was an old build then, but the guy was trying to sell it. My dad loves 5'8", 59 trucks. And this truck was sitting there, and it was painted lime green. And you know the lowrider rat?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, yep.
It had it painted on the tailgate.
Oh, that's cool. That would be a cool build.
Yeah, that was a neat truck. Chop top, big block Chevrolet. And the whole thing, like on Miami Vice, was like something like he was running like 200 mile an hour on his pickup truck or something.
Like that. Yeah,
it was. And I mean, it was a cool truck. I mean, like it had like centerline solids on it. No, I mean, it was cheesy from the word go, but my dad, I remember looking at that truck. My dad, he said, "Yeah, Don Johnson drove it." And I'm like, "Well, that's cool," but it was like flat black in Miami Vice, but still, very, very cool, very, very cool truck. But then Ford started coming on strong too. Ford started coming out with their fleet size, 57? Yeah, it was the first 57. Year for a fleet size for Ford. So I mean, and that's a cool thing there. So now tell us a little more. Now I know Smitty done went old school. I mean, he done went book report style. He's got his Trapper Keeper out.
Yeah, you know.
He's got his classic. He's got his classic truck Trapper Keeper out. Exactly.
He's been up for 3 days doing research.
Oh, I love it.
Well, we're talking about the 50s. The pickup truck didn't become a status symbol until the 50s.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's when they started putting some real style into them.
Yeah.
I mean, they made some iconic trucks in the 40s, like your 44 truck, and, you know, in 48 when it came out with the F1s and things like that. But in the 50s, I mean, all the cars in the 50s are gorgeous, except for the Edsel. I tell you what else ain't pretty is these commercial breaks. Man, we get on a good run, we got to stop every time. Guys, I tell you what, we got a lot more Hot Rods and Happy Hour coming right at you.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts. We got Smitty and Breezy on the mic over here.
Hello.
She's so nice.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we got the professor himself in the studio, Richard Hoskins, Hot Rods and Happy Hour resident financial expert / numbers guru.
What is going on, Good Thunder, Minnesota?
Good Thunder,
Minnesota.
And then we got Kobe Miller in studio. He's a hometown builder. This guy puts together some wild stuff here, and he's a truck guy, so we thought we'd bring him in today. Kobe, say hi to everybody.
What's up, everyone?
What's up? Howdy is how it goes.
Oh, howdy again.
This is a truck show, Kobe.
I forgot. Howdy, y'all.
Here we are trying to sound professional, and you're killing it.
Howdy, y'all.
Can you be from Traveler's Rest and not have howdy in your normal dictionary?
Yeah, in your normal vocab.
Yeah, but we got to put y'all after it, though.
Y'all.
We got to have the y'all.
Even if there's only one
I feel like we're going to have to, like, break it down for everybody that listens to this show on iTunes around the world, because everybody's going to be like, what's a y'all?
Or Ewens.
Ewens.
That's what people know.
Now we're going a little bit farther up north, and we're going to go with Ewens.
Yeah, that's you and your friends.
No, that's just one. That's just one person.
Singular.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So we're talking trucks. You know, we're talking about the iconic trucks of the 50s, the F1s and the Cameos and things like that. But I'll tell you something else. We had a lot of those trucks coming out of left field. We had some very eclectic trucks coming out in the 50s. Things you don't see no more. Dead brands all the way around, like the International.
Yeah, you know, that one was in 1957. It was the first crew cab pickup. And it was actually called a Travelette, kind of like Traveler's Rest.
but you know? Travel at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you got the first crew cab truck. So don't you know that the utility-wise of that, like all these construction companies and railroads and things like that, because there was actually people that were building crew cab trucks in the 60s, and they were actually like aftermarket outfitters making four-door trucks.
Yes.
It wasn't like a dealer thing or a factory thing. There was actually aftermarket outfits building these trucks. But in the 50s, International stepped up. Of course, International made heavy trucks also, so oh, yeah. kind of catering to everybody. And then, of course, we had the Willys Jeepsters. Yep. We were talking about that on the break.
I love Willys Jeepsters. And then right after that, Volkswagen jumped on board with their double cab pickup truck, which was a part of a bus that it turned into a pickup truck.
Exactly.
Which
well,
was
really
then, cool.
Then you had little Corvair trucks in the 60s, yep. too, if you just want to get wild with
yeah.
it. But, I mean, there was a lot of cool things in the 50s like that. I mean, even Dodge had some pretty stylish trucks in the 50s. And then they went to the Sweatline style, and that's probably the prettiest Dodge truck ever made, in my opinion. I think those are just good-looking trucks. And then, of course, yeah. I like the Little Red Expresses. Those are just cool. And we'll touch base on them here in a little bit. But lots and lots of style was coming in the 50s. So we're rolling into the 50s. We're rolling into the 60s trucks now. And I'll be honest with you, that's kind of a weird time for trucks. You know, the Fords look kind of funny. The Chevrolets were a little weird, but they, I mean, they weren't too far off. But in the early 60s, you know, like, it's like they came out, like, I love a 65, 66 Chevrolet truck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite
But bikes. But that weird kind of transition from 60 to 64. 64 is not too bad. 63 is better. 62 is like, yeah. 61 is like, no. And 60 is that ugly stepsister. I mean, it's just, yeah. it's hideous. It's just the ugly duckling of them all. But the only thing I hate about those trucks is they got that wraparound windshield on them that comes all the way to the side, like
yeah.
6 inches into the to the driver's area. So when you open the door, you hit your knee on it when you get in it. You hit your knee on the windshield
I
post.
Still love it, man. There's nothing better than a wraparound windshield.
Oh, and they're pretty. And, I mean, it's a good looking truck, but that's always been my problem with those trucks is you hit your knees on them.
Well, people wasn't as tall as we are back then, Rob.
All them hormones in the chickens what gets everybody.
We drink too much milk.
Them chickens.
Just like Kobe said over the break, we them 10-year-olds with beards, you know. I can even barely grow a goatee. There's a 10-year-old with a better beard than me. That's bad.
That ain't right.
I'm telling you.
Well, tell me something. What about the Ford Ranchero?
Oh, see, that's another thing now. And see, now this is a spirited debate. Is it really a truck? You know, because they always call these utility vehicles. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we ain't talking about expeditions or explorers, kids. We're talking about trucks with car front ends sitting on car chassis. And of course, you had the El Camino too.
It's kind of like a mullet.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It's the mullet.
Business in the front, party in the back.
Exactly.
But I'm going to tell you something. You know, and they get a bad rap. But, you know, and I'm not, everybody knows, I mean, it's not, you know, 6 o'clock news, but I'm not the biggest Ford fan in the world. But I will say this, a 57 Ford Ranchero is an absolutely gorgeous vehicle.
That was my actual first lowrider was a Ford Ranchero.
What year?
Really?
It was a 67 Ford Man. Ranchero, 289 car. All we did was I bought it, I think, for $150 from this old guy, and we literally brought it back to the farm and jacked it up and ripped the springs all the way out and just laid her on the ground. I mean,
how he says that he brought it back to the farm.
Yep,
that's awesome.
And it literally
you ain't hauling turnips in this thing.
No, it would like literally you go to change the lane, reflectors would fly.
Hey. I love it.
See, you turn my arm to get me to light the Ranchero. I'm not gonna lie. Like,
when you said it was a reflector collector, we had Smitty on board.
And what was so crazy? It was one of the ugliest things because it was green. It was green with green interior, but it was a fun vehicle to ride around.
Smitty's logic: if sparks don't fly, you're too high.
Exactly.
I'm telling you. Well, I mean, but that was the cool thing. But these things were extremely popular. You know, the Rancheros and the El Caminos and all that stuff. These things were gorgeous vehicles. Like you take a 59 El Camino.
Yes, that's one of my favorite.
They are a work of art. You know, they get a bad rap. The Elcos do. You know, and they kind of fall in a bad. At a bad spot in value also, Richard. You can step up on this. It's so funny. The Chevelle guys hate them. They don't claim them. The truck guys don't want them. So they're kind of out there. It's like Misfit Island. Rancheros, the El Caminos, and the Dodge Rampages are floating around out here by themselves.
It's a little bit more of a limited market.
It's a bit of a niche market. But I want to tell you something. I had a 67 El Camino that I absolutely loved. I mean, it was a great car. And they're really neat cars. And you can get into them priced right. I mean, you can buy a 70 El Camino, which is a.k.a. a 70 Chevelle from the doors up, and for way less than you could buy a 70 Malibu for. We're talking 70 Chevelle four-door money for an El Camino. But they get such a bad rap. Like, the Harley guys love them. I've never understood that because the motorcycle really doesn't fit in the back of them. But the Harley guys always seem to like them. And I guess maybe because the car guys were kind of down on the motorcycle guys, yep. So they teamed up with the El Camino guys because they were hated too.
It might be more that the El Camino guys like Harleys.
Yes.
That could be it too. That could be it too.
When you got the mullet going on in the El Camino, you just cross right over into the motorcycles.
Well, I mean, it just flows so nicely. Maybe
the El Camino guys are like, well, okay, you car guys don't want to play with, fine then. We'll just go over here and play with the motorcycle guys.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, but that's the thing. It's so funny. Like, I'm a member of numerous Chevelle forums and things like that. And these cars, like, you got these guys on there that are, like, diehard, and they, like, let them on just because they have to.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, their car is virtually a Chevelle.
But the worst El Camino, I don't care, across the board ever made was a mid-'80s El Camino SS. Choo-choo edition.
Don't,
I mean, come on.
Kobe, please stop right now because I'm pretty sure Harold Hall, my shop teacher, listens to this show. And he loved those things. He actually had a Laguna, the earlier style. And then he had the second ugliest El Camino ever made. And then he had the number one numero uno, actually helped paint it in school, the black 86 SS Choo Choo Customs, which is basically, Harold, don't take this to heart, the ugliest automobile probably ever made. I mean, it had like the fake side pipes.
Yep.
And
the hood scoop.
The sticker.
With the 305 in it.
And I loved it because they had a sticker that said Designer Series. Yep. It was as designer as a members only jacket.
Choo Choo Custom didn't really cater a lot to the younger generation.
Choo Choo Customs catered a lot. I think Choo Choo Customs was like one of those side companies that was owned by 3M because they made two-sided tape. Because everything that Choo Choo Customs makes sticks on.
Yes. The ground effects.
Everything.
The hood scoop.
Do it yourself.
It's like 600 yards of 3M double-sided tape, a little bit of plastic and fiberglass. Bada boom, bada bing. We got a custom El Camino.
With a train on the side.
Oh, yeah. And then they put those on the side of them that kill me. The tie-downs on across the bed rails.
Yeah, the bed rails.
And the thing is, the way a bed's made on an El Camino is they don't have, so they kind of stick out the sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're on the outside.
Yeah.
I took them off my 79.
I mean, so you're going down the road, you have toe hooks on the side of the El Camino. And it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart. I mean, Harold's crying right now. But.
And I'm still trying to figure out how they call it an SS with a 305 in it.
See, you got to think about it. They were playing the name game there. You know, I think SS on those stood for shame, shame. Because I'm a GM guy. Don't get me wrong. You cut my veins. I bleed Chevrolet orange.
That wasn't even the L69 305 either.
No, it was like the 105 horsepower.
Yeah, it was. That was one gilded pony, if you catch my drift. That thing was weak as water. I tell you what else is weak. Man, these commercial breaks, dude, we get talking good. We got to stop again. I need to call and apologize to Harold anyway. Guys, we got a lot more Hot Rods and Happy Hour coming right at you.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts in the studio. We got local builder Kobe Miller. Kobe, say hey to everybody.
How you Ewan's doing?
Ewan's doing. Kobe, you are really not helping the stereotype of the South. I'm just throwing that out there. And then, of course, we got Smitty and Brielle over here on the mic.
What's happening,
y'all?
Don't
use my government name.
Breezy.
Thank you.
On the mic. And, of course, we got the professor himself, Richard Hoskins, Hot Rods and Happy Hour financial analyst / numbers guru.
This sounds like a fun one. What is going on, Apex, North Carolina?
I've actually been through Apex, North Carolina.
Really? Was it fun?
I don't remember it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it was probably fun.
I've actually
done some racing in Apex.
He's raced at Apex. I had a DVD player that had Apex on it one time. I tell you, it was like the worst $99 I've ever spent in my life. I've never had a DVD player that skipped as bad as this thing did. It was like hand crank. It was like a phonograph DVD player.
Yeah, you got to be flying around turns for it to work right.
Yeah. That one's just, it just didn't work. It was just a bad, bad thing. Top Gun with a cheap DVD player is a bad thing. Really bad.
Wow.
I'm bringing back memories for Breezy. I can tell right now. She's got her eyes closed.
I was
Everybody got thing. One of those things for Christmas.
Yes, I had one.
Breezy's sitting over there, inverted.
That's like Christmas 99. Everybody got the, it's DVD, and got Top Gun on DVD. Oh, it's so awesome. Newsflash, it still sucked.
It was not that good of a
movie. I wasn't a big Top Gun fan. I'm sorry.
You weren't Maverick?
No. I'm more of an Iceman kind of guy anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Iceman was cooler.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, Top Gun's still the best Tom Cruise movie ever made, hands down.
Hands down.
Hands down. And Robert Duvall carried all the weight on that one, period. Just say, really?
No.
What's the best Tom Cruise movie?
I would probably, Top Gun is way up there, but I would probably say... Yeah, let's go with Top Gun.
Smart guy.
Now that I think about it, that probably is the best one.
Did no one here see Risky Business?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I was thinking Risky Business.
Did nobody see Cocktail?
Cocktail was a good one, too.
Yeah, I know y'all sat there with bottles and tried to flip them up and do all that good stuff, because I did.
I could do it.
But you know what? Cocktail, they may have been flipping bottles. In Risky Business, he was flipping 928 Porsches into the water. That was the best ever.
That's true.
I still love those Porsches from that movie.
And Bob Seger. I think it's one of those beautiful cars ever made.
Seger. Who doesn't like Bob Seger?
I mean, if you're driving a 928.
He was in Days of Thunder, too, though.
That's what I'm saying. I said Days of Thunder is the best.
Yeah, Days of Thunder by far. I thought you said Top Gun.
No. Top Gun. Oh, okay. Top Gun sucks.
Okay.
Days of Thunder.
Days
hands
of
down.
Thunder all day. Yeah.
Top Gun's a rookie movie. Days of Thunder, that's a winner movie.
Yeah, man. How can you not have Days of Thunder?
I want to tell you something. If Robert Duvall's in it, it's good. The end. Period. Yeah.
True.
I learned something actually interesting today, and it's a little off subject, but it's my radio show, so I don't care. So, do you know that Robert Duvall was originally cast to be in Shawshank Redemption instead of Morgan Freeman?
I knew that.
Really?
Robert
yes.
Duvall. Do you know how much that movie would have changed with Robert Duvall in it?
Yeah.
I probably would have owned it on DVD then.
I actually like that movie.
I do like the movie. I miss my friend Andy.
If you just have like a whole day of absolutely doing nothing, because you can start it in the morning and you're going to go to sleep watching it still because it's
exactly
that long.
and then when you wake up at 6 o'clock, you'll be Andy sanding on a boat.
That's right.
It's actually a really good movie, but
it would have been a good book too.
No, we don't read.
Well,
you
know
here.
Stephen King wrote that.
Yes, and it's actually a series of short stories.
Exactly, and he actually sold that screenplay to the director of that movie for $1,000.
Yep. Mm.
Wow.
Well, that's a loser. Bit of information on Shawshank Redemption. The place they filmed the movie for, the prison, guess what they have at it every year? It's in Ohio. Guess what they have every year?
What's that?
Dropped and Destroyed. A mini truck show.
They have a mini truck show at a jailhouse. It's more like a reunion, but you know what I'm saying. Hey, I served time there. I know where that's at. Man, that's the one gorgeous show that nobody has the GPS that's going. They're like, yeah, I know. I got people there.
Yeah.
I need to go see my Uncle Leroy anyway.
They have a mini truck show during the day, and at night they do the ghost walk through the old prison.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. I've
never been to a car show in a jailhouse.
No, I never have either.
It's on my bucket list.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to add it to mine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's only 8 hours away.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Really. You know? We'll take Miss Wu.
Maybe when I break out the old Isuzu, we might make a road trip.
That's what I'm screaming.
We can do this.
I tell you what, let's just put it on a car trailer. You want to?
Somebody let me borrow a car trailer?
That's right. So we're talking trucks this week on Hot Rods and Happy Hour, not movies. And but that's the thing that's cool about these trucks. You know, we're talking about El Caminos when we left off. And the first thing that popped in my mind, I wonder what came first, the mullet or the El Camino?
Well, I got to answer that.
Smitty all wise over here, dog. He's breaking all kinds of stuff. No matter what you tell us, Smitty says, Well, actually.
But again, he's been doing that 3 days, staying up all night long, doing all that research.
Yeah, he's studying like a schoolgirl over here. Poor Smitty over here got carpal tunnel from writing so much. I love it.
Breeze probably wrote for him. He probably just sat over there on a on the couch and get
We need to get Will just to dictate and take notes for you.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
Can I borrow Will for a couple of days?
Rob, I need to borrow Will. He has excellent penmanship.
I got a cheeseburger Happy Meal with his name all over it.
It's like when he's done, all right, back to the kids' table you go.
Yes, that's it. Take your little toy.
Oh, I tell you what, poor little guy. He's not even here to defend himself this week. Nope. I kind of miss him. But anyway, we'll have him back here next week. So tell me about it. So what do you think came first, the mullet or the El Camino?
Well, let's just say back in 1918, Chevrolet produced early truck models that looked like a car but performed like a truck. But the funny thing about it, the customer had to put the bed on the truck themselves.
So basically, it was like an unfinished, like a cabin chassis, technically.
Exactly, yeah.
So technically, I guess the El Camino was before the mullet?
Yeah,
probably so.
Things that boggle the mind. Richard's over here.
I'm trying to think, when did mullets come out?
I think as people sat in the driver's seat of the El Camino, their mullets started
growing. It was like evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, something's happening.
Yeah.
I would probably say early 60s, I would think. That's when the mullet... That's about the same time them aviator glasses came out.
Like Kyle Petty. Well, Kyle Petty had that thing for a long time. Well, he actually shaved his off, though.
Yeah.
He had the perm in and everything.
That's all I'm about to say, the perm.
They actually showed a picture of an early picture of Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx had a mullet.
Yes, he did, and I remember that.
Mullet does not... what you call it? Anybody can have a mullet, and Jamie Foxx had a mullet. And a pretty mean gap going there, too.
He did. He got that fixed, though.
He did. Mm-hmm. You could kick a field goal between that. But I want to tell you something. But he had a mullet, though. I mean, everybody did. I wonder if he had an El Camino.
I'm not going to lie. I had a mullet in kindergarten.
You did?
It was curly. Oh, it was cute. Lord.
I had the perm and the mullet and the racing stripes. You wasn't cool until you got the racing stripes above the ear.
I actually had a perm and a mullet myself. Yeah. And there's probably two pictures of it. I'm pretty sure I burned all the rest of them. And got rid of them. I saw it.
And the crazy thing
right
is,
before school pictures, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I even had the rat tail.
Oh, I had the rat tail, too?
Yes, I had the rat tail.
Well, guys, I mean, we're talking about trucks and not bad hair decisions, but...
Yes.
Don't they go hand in hand?
Let's go hand in hand.
I never had a rat tail. Like, I grew up on the classy side of the trailer park, so, I mean, you know, my dad drove a C4 Corvette, so I couldn't have a rat tail.
Hey, it's like I told you the other day, just because your street had a name and not a number, don't mean that you're any better than I am.
Don't be coming off 40-20 on me now. But the trucks in the 60s really started gaining a lot of style, though. Like I said, in the 50s, they started getting kind of around and going on the course. But in the 60s, you started having custom cab trucks.
Yes.
You started getting trucks with more options on them. And, you know, like, you know, we had the gentleman's truck with a Cameo. Now that was becoming way more popular. We had fleet side trucks.
Yes, fleet side trucks. Then you had trucks with AC.
Yes, which and that's the thing you got to think about. AC in the 50s was a rare thing. 60s, you start seeing more in cars, but in trucks, that was something that didn't happen.
No.
I tell you something else I wish didn't happen. These commercial breaks, man. We get going, guys. Stop again.
Killing us.
Guys, stay tuned. We're talking classic trucks right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
On 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.